This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
All right, developing and managing agendas. Edgar Stays said that a good agenda doesn't guarantee a good meeting, but good meetings are not likely to happen with a poor agenda or the wrong agenda. So a good meeting is going to have a well thought out agenda. And, you know, most things we do just work better if we plan and if we think ahead of time what we're going to do, and we have a strategy or an approach. And basically an agenda is just a plan of how we're going to utilize the time in the meeting. And you think about if you have 7, 8, 9 men in a meeting, and you're going to spend 3 hours, 5 hours a day together. If you're wasting time, you're wasting a lot of people's time. And we've probably all been in meetings where at the end of the meeting we wondered what we accomplished or if the really important things really did get talked about. And we talked about a lot of things, but maybe the things that we really needed to talk about didn't get covered. And so an agenda helps us to stay on track, know what we're going to do. Everybody knows what we're going to talk about. Everybody knows what's going to happen, and we follow the plan, and we're able to work the plan. So here's three reasons to have an agenda. A meeting agenda provides basic administrative details and information regarding the meeting. So you want to have the title of the meeting, the name of the group that's going to be meeting. So that's like the Institute for Global Opportunities board meeting. It can be an administrative meeting, but you want what group is meeting. And then the location of the meeting. So everybody has the address. Especially if your meetings move around. Of course, if you're having meetings at your office, people would know where it is. But if you're doing board meetings and they move to different places, make sure people have the address so you don't have somebody calling you 5 minutes after the meeting started saying, "My GPS isn't taking me right, I can't find it, where is it?" So have the address in advance so people can plan their travel time. They know how long it's going to take to arrive there. And then the time frame for the meeting, the starting time and the ending time, so that people know when they're going to be finished. And then start at the starting time. Managing your agenda is starting at the starting time and closing at the ending time. If you start having a history of running overtime, what happens is people start to lose energy and they start to feel like, "Well, I don't know when this is going to be over, and you know, we might be here a long time." And especially if you're doing evening meetings, your cognitive energies really start to decline. And if you're going to be making major decisions, if you have some of your big decisions toward the end of the meeting and it's already after 10 o'clock at night, you're not getting your best energy. You're not getting the best out of your people. And so have a start time, have an end time, and at least if you get to the end time and you need 10 more minutes, at least have the respect to ask people, "Does everybody have 10 more minutes? And this is what we're going to do with those 10 minutes." But don't just run over and keep going and people start to wonder, you know, when is this going to be done? Then the participants of the meeting, who's invited to attend, and that may just simply be your board members and they know who they are. If it includes other people, those people should be listed as to who's going to be there, who's invited, so that if you're inviting somebody into the meeting for a special report or for a part of the meeting, that's noted, and everybody who's coming to the meeting knows that that person is going to be invited and is going to attend. And then the agenda, the second reason for having an agenda is it prepares participants for the meeting. It gives an overview of what's going to happen. It prepares them for what they need to contribute. And so we're going to talk about this a little later, but every agenda item should have a name behind it, who's responsible for that item, so that you're not getting to the agenda item and saying, well, who's going to talk about this and who has something to say. You have a person that's going to, if it's a report, who's giving the report? If it's an agenda item, who's going to give the background information? Who's going to lay out the framework of what we're going to talk about? But there should be a name with each agenda item, so that and then people can prepare it. And if you're leading the meeting, it's good to contact people in advance and say, like, I'm putting your name on this item, and just have a little discussion about what's going to happen when you get to that item, and that they're prepared to share about that item. And the agenda also allows your participants to block out time in their schedule for the meeting. And then the agenda also guides the productive use of meeting time. It outlines what will be discussed, and it breaks into segments the meeting time. And I think that you want to have your opening comments. You want to give some time for your opening comments. Like, if you're going to have 5 minutes, if you're going to have a devotional, a prayer time, like, have a slot for that. And then the review of the previous minutes, information, reporting, then discussion, decisions. And then what is good to do, and we'll talk about this when we get more into the management section, but what is good to do is to, as you go through the meeting, is to have your secretary or somebody at the meeting be accumulating a list of assignments. So if you discuss something and then you realize we need more information about that, and you say, okay, this person, we need you to find, like, can you check and see, get us information on this or this? Somebody should be making a note of that assignment. And then at the end of the meeting, you go through that list of assignments. Okay, this is the assignments people have. This is what you're going to do. And review that. And you may also have assignments from previous meetings that aren't finished, and you review that list of assignments. And then you have your adjournment. Agendas can have different formats, and you have to choose a format that works for your organization. And some of it depends on how diversified your programs are. It also depends on how often you're meeting. If you're meeting every week, that's one thing. If you're meeting every month, or if you're only meeting twice a year, your agenda may look quite different, depending on the frequency of your meetings and the diversity of your programs. Let's talk a little bit about how to develop a good agenda. You start with confirming the meeting details, the location, the time frame. Something to think about too is your break times. Like schedule your break times, because there's only so much energy, and only so long people can sit in a meeting and focus. And so your break times, they do two things. They give people a chance to go to the restroom. They can get up and walk around, get their blood circulating again. And it also gives time for informal fellowship and just talking about things informally. And it gives time for relationship building. And so your breaks aren't wasted time. They're actually part of building the cohesiveness of the group and some of the relationships that happen in the break times. The relationship building can actually facilitate your meeting. And so think about your break times. Think about the refreshments. Who's going to provide those? What are you going to have? Make sure you have whatever you want, water, coffee, tea, whatever. Depends how elaborate you want to go on refreshments. But have refreshments there, and put some thought into that, and make sure that they're available. And then just that the chairman will respect the start time and the close time. The board chairman and the lead administrative person, whether you call them an administrator or a director or a CEO, whatever title that person has, the board chairman and the lead administrative person need to collaborate on the agenda. They're the two people who pull together the agenda. So they put a lot of work into the agenda, and that can go either way. The board chairman can take the initiative, and he can prepare the agenda and then talk to the administrator or the director and say, how does this look? What do you have to add? Or it can go the other way. And some organizations that I've been part of, as administrator, I would prepare the agenda, send it to the board chairman, and say, what do you have to add? What are your items? And it, so who starts the process, you can choose. But those two people, the board chairman and the key administrative person, need to really work together closely on developing the agenda. And you put thought into not only what's on the agenda, but the proper sequence. What should be the flow of the agenda? Are there things that we need to know? Like, here's a decision item. What do we need to know? What needs to be talked about before we get to that decision item? So you think about the sequence of the items that are on the agenda. And when you're preparing an agenda, it's really good to review about your last two sets of minutes from your previous meetings, because there's stuff in there that you've forgotten about, and it's bad to get to the meeting and then you're reviewing the minutes and then it's like, oh, we need to talk about that. And then you add that to the agenda and you're adding other stuff to the agenda, and where do we put it? Well, you put it at the end, and maybe it doesn't belong at the end. And so just reviewing your two sets of previous minutes while you're preparing the agenda helps you to collect all those things. And then also you send out an email or whatever to everybody who's participating, then with a tentative agenda saying, do you have anything to add? Does anybody have anything to add? And you really need to train people to, that's the point, to add agenda items rather than, you know, often and at the beginning of the meeting, you need to also say, approve the agenda and ask if people have other additions. But the more agenda items you can recruit ahead of time, the better you can get them organized into the right sequence. And really, it should be the exception where people come to the meeting and say, okay, like, I want to add this, and yeah, we need to talk about that. It should be put on the agenda ahead of time. And part of that is just transparency. And sometimes, depending on what's happening in an organization, you can kind of have under the table agendas, and people will spring something on the group. They don't want people to think about it ahead of time. They want to kind of just put it out there on the spur of the moment, and then you haven't had time to think about it, and you're not as likely to make a good decision. So you really want to get agenda items in advance so that people can think about them before they get to the meeting. They can have an idea of what's going to be talked about before they get there. Then when the agenda items, and the other thing is, when you get your sequencing, then follow your sequencing. When you get to the meeting, follow the order of the agenda. I was in one leader that I served under, we could always tell what the emotionally charged agenda items were, because they'd get pushed. We'd be going through the agenda, and then he would say, "Well, let's leave that one for later," and then we knew, okay, that there's something going on there. And so then at the end of the meeting, we had these two or three emotionally charged items at the end, and by that time, people were frustrated anyway, and they knew that, okay, this is going to be a big deal, and then you're tired, and it's just not a good idea. So, like, follow the flow of the agenda and in the order they're in, work through them and take them in the order that they're there. Because also, if you do that, then if you do have some items that are emotionally charged, you do have some items that are going to be a heated discussion, people are prepared for that, when the time comes. They can see that item coming. They know that's going to be a big one. People are going to have different opinions, and this is going to be a big discussion. And so they're emotionally ready for that. If you get there and then you put it off, then what happens to that emotional energy? It can go into an item where it doesn't belong, and you can have arguments over things that you shouldn't be arguing about because people are really, they're half mad about something that's down that you just pushed down the agenda, or they're mad that their item got pushed down to the one they really care about isn't being talked about now, so now they're gonna rig you over the coals over something they don't even care about that much. But so follow the sequence of the agenda, and then when the agenda is prepared, distribute it to all the participants so that everybody has it in advance with the reports and the things that people need to read, usually attached to the agenda, things that people need to read before they get to the meeting. One of the things that can be used is what's called a consent agenda, and there are routine things that sometimes take a lot of time at a meeting, and they don't have to take a lot of time. So a consent agenda allows you to put a number of things on the agenda as one item. You just list it as a consent agenda. You list the things that are on the consent agenda, and then rather than having a motion on each one of those items, you can just have a motion to approve the items that are on the consent agenda, and everything is approved in one motion. However, you need to ask if anybody has anything that should be discussed or any questions about things that are on the consent agenda. And then if someone says, well, I have a question about the financial statement, there was something there that we ought to discuss, well, then you pull that off of the consent agenda and you put it on your regular agenda, and you discuss that item. Some things that can be on a consent agenda: you can have the meeting minutes, and even if you don't have a consent agenda, I just like board members should be responsible enough to read minutes before they get to the meeting. We can waste a lot of time in meetings sitting there listening to the secretary read through the minutes, and nobody can verbally read as fast as you can read without saying the words. So just to read through the minutes verbally at the meeting, in my opinion, it takes a lot of unnecessary time. And I think you can train board members to read the minutes before they get to the meeting. You can ask, has everybody read it? Are there any questions, any concerns? And you'll see two or three guys quickly flipping through and looking for stuff. But you can train them to read it ahead of time, and that's what's expected. And then you can have a motion on the minutes without taking a lot of time for the minutes. So minutes can be on the consent agenda. Financial reports can be on the consent agenda. Your tax returns, your 990 or your whatever tax returns you have, the audit engagement letter can be on the consent agenda. If you have bank account signatory authorizations that have to be done annually, if every year you have to renew your bank signature things, that can be on a consent agenda. One of the things that the IRS asks you to do is to annually affirm your mission statement, and so that can be on the consent agenda. The review of your whistleblower policy, related party transactions, some of those things you can get on a consent agenda, and you can do them all in one motion. Now, the concern I have about consent agendas is that what if people don't read it? What if they just say, yeah, sure, and especially if you have board members that aren't really into finances and financial reports isn't their thing, and they're not even going to bother. They're just going to whatever. They're just going to approve the consent agenda. And so, I think if you use a consent agenda, you really have to work with your board members to make sure that they are reading the things and that they really understand it. And maybe occasionally it's good to pull one of these things off of the consent agenda and just go through it more individually. I don't know, but I think consent agendas can save time, but some of the dangers are you might have board members who don't review the materials beforehand, and it could be easy for financial matters to be hidden in a consent agenda and for you not really to take proper due diligence with finances, and so changes could be approved or things could be approved that it aren't really well understood by the board. So a consent agenda is a tool, but I have some cautions about consent agendas, and I think you need to be careful with consent agendas. But even if you don't use a consent agenda, I'm convinced that not reading the minutes at the meeting is a good idea. Any questions so far? Anything or any comments you have? Probably some of you have far more experience with consent agendas than I do, and you'd have a comment on that or anything else we've talked about so far.
Do you have a recommendation on distribution time ahead of, how long ahead of the meeting, and especially if you were using a consent agenda, would that change? In other words, anything on the consent agenda would have to be distributed beforehand.
Right.
Information.
Yeah, if you have a biannual or a quarterly meeting, then I think people ought to have the materials like a month or 3 weeks on ahead of time. If you have a monthly meeting, then maybe a week on ahead of time, but it should be well enough time that it depends how much people have to read, but it should be well in advance of the meeting. Shannon?
Exact same question.
So, yeah. Yes?
I had a question about doing weekly meetings. Are
yes.
you familiar with that EOS model of a once a week L10 1 hour meeting? And do you have experience with how you do the meeting agenda if it's something like that?
Okay, in a weekly meeting, like if you have somebody that's reporting to you and you have a weekly meeting with them, often I would expect those people to bring an agenda. Like I would say, what do you have that you want to talk about? What are your agenda items? And I may have a few things that I want to talk about, but I'll see first if the person who's reporting to me has them on their agenda, and then I will add, I'll supplement. But sometimes it's a written agenda that they'll send on ahead of time, but it can be done just at the beginning of the meeting, saying, okay, what do you have? And yeah, I have a couple things. And then you put it together right there. If it's just like two people meeting. If you have a staff meeting, that's a weekly staff meeting, then you should be putting out an agenda on ahead of time. If you've got 10 people there and it's a weekly staff meeting, then you should have an agenda that you're getting out at least the day before the meeting, saying here's the staff meeting agenda, this is what we're going to be talking about. And that's a different story. But on a one-on-one meeting, I think you can kind of create an agenda at the beginning of the meeting. Anything else? All right, let's go into managing the agenda then. So when you get to the meeting, the first thing you do is review the agenda and talk about the time frame, let people know when the breaks are going to be, if you have a lunch, if you have if you have meals within the meeting, make sure people know when those are, because if people have phone calls or they have people that are going to be trying to contact them, then they know when to tell people, okay, I'll be free at 12:30 and I'll have 10-15 minutes that I can talk, or so people know when that is, and just so they have an idea of what's happening and have an overview of what's going to happen. Then you make changes or additions to the agenda, ask if anybody has any, you're going to have a motion for approving the agenda. You find out if people have things they want to add or changes they want to make to the agenda, and hopefully there aren't any, but occasionally there are. And then think about removing distractions. Think about your meeting room, where you're meeting, and just think about things like windows and what's going to be happening outside, and think about how you have people positioned in the room. If there are ways you can eliminate distractions just by the way you turn the table or the way you set things up in your meeting room, think about distractions, and then follow the agenda. Take it point by point and go through the agenda, and then take action or give assignments at the end of each item. It should be, okay, what are we doing here? If you make a decision, who's going to implement that decision? What needs to happen? Who has the ball now? Where is it? What's going to take place? At the end, or toward the end, you review your future meeting dates. Make sure that people have them in their schedule. Especially if you have a board that travels, if you have board members from different areas, schedule your meetings like a year and a half in advance, because otherwise you have a terrible time finding a date that works for everybody to be at the meeting. So get your meetings scheduled well in advance. If you can have standard dates every year for your meetings, then when people are doing their schedule and people are asking them to do meetings or something, they already know that board meeting is going to be the last week of June, and so I can't take other assignments during that week. So if you can have a standard meeting time, but then schedule them out, and at the end of the meeting, review when those are, so that people don't wind up with scheduling conflicts. You know, there's the principle of the distant elephant, and that is that when an elephant is way across the way somewhere, it doesn't look too intimidating or too frightening. But when that elephant gets within 20 feet of you, it's like, this is serious. Like, this is a big deal. And that's true for commitments. Like, people can look at something a year from now, like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then 2 days before, like, why did I ever say I could do that? I don't know. And what was I thinking? But people will make commitments for a year from now that they won't make for a month from now. And it just, so getting your dates out there early is good. And then review assignments and responsibilities. Have your list of assignments. Who's going to do what? What are people's responsibility? We're going to this meeting. This is who's going to do what. This is what we're expecting. And review that. Have a responsibility or an assignment list. And then it's good at the end of the meeting to just have a time of saying, so how did we do? How is everyone feeling? And how did the meeting go? And is there anything anybody would like to say? Because I've just seen times that, like, you can have some exchanges in a meeting that get tense and get difficult, and you can have somebody who perhaps their feelings were hurt, and I've just seen times at the end of a meeting where if you ask this question, how did we do, and how was the meeting, is everybody okay, or just, you know, how did it go for you? I've just seen times where there's people who will say, you know what, like, we had that discussion back there, and I said something that I sort of regret. I wish I wouldn't have said that, or I feel like I stated that too strongly, and it didn't come out right. And it can just dissipate a lot of uncertainty, or just take away some of the relationship tension that can happen in a meeting. And so I think just an opportunity to do that is good for evaluation at the end of the meeting. I gave you a couple of sample agendas, and this one is, the whole thing isn't here. I couldn't get it all on my screen. I'm not enough of a technical person to know how to do that, so you got the first part of it here. But this is a rather complex agenda, and the way this works is you have, on the left side, you have the category, like general board, personnel, partner development, goes through the different categories, and then they have the consent agenda, and it lists what's on the consent agenda, and the estimated time. We're going to do this in 5 minutes, and then the result is going to be a decision. The board report review, 5 minutes, it's information. There's not going to be any action on that. The Canadian organization, just an update, 10 minutes, it's information. Then the board member vacancy is going to be a 30-minute discussion. There's going to be a decision. You're going to have a list of potential board members, or you're going to decide who you're going to ask to serve on the board. And if you have this kind of agenda, it really gives you it helps you to know, to have a goal of how much time you're going to spend on that item. Otherwise, you can have items that take up more time than they really ought to take. And if you do this, then you should have a timekeeper, somebody who says to the board chairman, okay, like, our time's up on that item, and it's time to, like, what do you want to do? And the board can decide, no, we need 5 more minutes on this. You can add time, but it's an agreement that the board makes they're going to do that. But often you get to the end of that, if your time frame, if that's not finished, sometimes the best thing to do is to give somebody an assignment and say, we're going to bring that back to the next meeting. You go, like, get us this information. Why are we not able to make a decision here? What don't we know? What are the things that we need yet? And then you give somebody an assignment, you bring it back to the next meeting. And if you're almost finished, and you, like, in 5 more minutes, and a 30-minute thing, if in 5 more minutes you think you can do it, maybe it's worth adding 5 minutes. But if it's going to take another 30 minutes, you're taking time away from things further down the agenda that you really are going to miss then. So it might be better to just give somebody an assignment and come back to it. And here's an important place where your vice chairman can really play an important role, because the vice chairman is really can assist the chairman in having a well-run meeting. And the vice chairman can kind of he might be the timekeeper, but if you don't have time blocks on your agenda, if you have more of an open agenda and you just have the items, the vice chairman, like, sometimes the chairman he's engaged in the conversation, he's engaged in the dialogue, and he gets really into it. But the vice chairman can kind of be monitoring, maybe we ought to wrap this up. And the vice chairman can tell the chairman, you know, I think we probably should move on, or I think we should try to make a decision here. Or sometimes it's even, are we ready for a motion? Are we ready to make a decision? And the vice chairman can help to sense where the group is at. And the vice chairman might be able to say to the chairman, you know, I think it feels to me like we're about ready to make a decision here. I think maybe we could have a motion. And so the chairman and the vice chairman can work together. Like, I was on a board one time, and they were talking about board officer roles and talking about who could be chairman and secretary and treasurer. And one of the men made this comment. He said, well, I don't want to be a chairman or secretary or treasurer, but I can be vice chairman because they don't really do anything. So, but that's not true. The vice chairman has an important role, and the vice chairman also has to be ready to step in if the chairman isn't able to be at the meeting. And so also in the preparation of the agenda, it's not a bad idea to include the vice chairman just in case the chairman can't be there. And somebody was telling me not too long ago that they had a meeting planned, and they did the agenda. The vice chairman was involved in planning the agenda, and the day before the meeting, the chairman got COVID and couldn't be at the meeting, and the vice chairman was ready. He knew it was on the agenda. He had been involved. He could step in. They ran the meeting without the chairman. It was no problem at all. But otherwise, the chairman who got sick told me he wasn't even sure they'd been able to have the meeting if the vice chairman hadn't been up to date with what was going on. So your vice chairman can play an important role in just keeping things on track. Here's another agenda. This is an IGO agenda. We move our meetings around. So this one was in South Carolina. We basically start out with a devotion, the meeting minutes, but there again, we generally don't read the minutes. It's just like you have a motion to approve it, and then the administrator's report. And again, on reporting, reporting is an area where you can also waste a lot of time. And if you can get written reports, then if you can just get your people to do a quick summary, like, we can read, so send me the full 5 pages of your report or however long it is, but when we get to the meeting, can you summarize that in 3 to 5 minutes? And because sometimes reports just, you know, people drag on, and you get this 20-minute report, and then it's the next one and the next one, and after a while your eyes glaze over and you've heard so much stuff you're not even sure. And they're really pumped about it. It's really exciting to them, but is it really information that you need that's important? And maybe you need to have it somewhere, but if you get it in writing and then just get a 3 to 5 minute summary from each person, I think it's really helpful. And then we have our committees, so we do like the finance committee, policy committee, personnel committee, and then we have the business items, which I don't have. But whatever you have in business items, then the future minute dates, meeting dates, and adjournment. I know yesterday or Wednesday Gary was talking about moving the reporting to the end, and I think it's up to you where you do that. I think sometimes the reporting is good earlier in the meeting, because then you have the background, and for me, if you put the reports at the end, it just seems a little upside down, but if it works for you, you just have to find a system that works and that is good for your setting. But I really think you can shorten meetings by having people read stuff in advance and getting it out to them early enough that they can read it. Any questions, comments? Yeah. Yes.
So, especially a group of people who maybe doesn't know each other real well, is it good to have a discussion prior to the choosing officers? That way you're not putting somebody in a treasurer's position who struggles balancing their own checkbook. Or where do you go with that?
Well, I think that that's part of your board member selection, where you look at what skills do we need on this board, and that there's a time when you're looking for a board member that has the financial skills to be the treasurer. And so you may know when that person comes on the board, they are very likely to be the treasurer. And so I think that in your board member selection, you're looking at people's giftings, their skills, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. And so, yeah, you should know that about your board members. If you're in a situation where other people are appointing your members and you work with whoever is elected by somebody somewhere, then you just have to have that conversation. And that's where the board chairman should be having kind of an orientation and an onboarding process for new board members, where he finds out what are their interests, what are their strengths, what do they do well. So I think that's part of board member selection or board member orientation.
How much of this item on your agenda that says the type, it says decision, and when you know as the chairman and the vice, maybe knows the administrator knows, not the ultimate outcome, yes or no, or this, but we know what we're talking about. How much do you pre-say what this decision will be without being too much of an influence as a chairman? So my decision is we need to decide if John Doe is going to be the next administrator or not. But like, if you give nothing and kind of, that's my question. Clear, when you say what type and you say what you're trying to decide, what kind of information is too much, like you're influencing it now as you start the discussion?
Yeah, on your agenda, you're going to put on
decide about
the hiring of administrator.
Yeah.
And I think your board members should know who your potential people are. But I don't think you say much more than that. And then you get to the meeting, you make your presentation. And
especially when you need a motion to kind of eventually come to. Is it, how do you describe what you need there? Or how is that clear?
I'm not sure.
If you know that there needs to be a motion, is the part of the decision. Is it okay to prompt that along as a chairman? Like, how do you, if it seems like it's lag, how do you say, guys, we need to, without...
Yeah, well, I think you try to sense when people are ready for a motion, and you can ask, are we ready to make a decision? Like, does somebody want to make a motion? And then if you get silence, then you're like, okay, well, what else do we need to be able to do that? How do we go from where we are to where we're ready to make a motion? What else do you men want to know? What do you want to know? What do you need? And then if there's things you don't have, then you may have to say, okay, well, then we're going to have to find that out. We'll put it on the next agenda.
That was helpful. What else do we need?
That was helpful. So I think you ask, your first question is, are we ready?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then, okay, what do we need to know yet? And then you're ready to go. CJ.
Okay. What I'm going to ask, it could depend on the country or how busy people are. I would like to know if there is a certain limit of time for a meeting, then we can go further with people. I want to know if there is a certain limit of time we can go further.
Yeah, it depends if you're going to have a meal. It depends on, like, if you're going to have a longer meeting, then you have to think about the logistics of that. Like, we're going to have breaks, we're going to have a meal, we're going to have refreshments, we're going to have to... we have to think about people's transportation. How much time do they need to get home before dark, or whatever? You have things around the meeting that you have to know, which determine how long the meeting can be. All right, we are out of time.
This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022. A conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.